right, worship team, thank you so much for that. I'm going to start out today in Psalm 95. As I said, it's been a tough week, and when I knew that I was going to be delivering the message this morning, of course, you begin to think about, oh, well, what am I going to say? And it was difficult, so nothing was coming. This morning, I got up about 4:30 this morning and opened up my Bible to Psalm 95, and it just started right out here. So as God began to give it to me, I just got more and more settled and secure. And so my prayer is that I can deliver that to us all, because that's what the rest of God is, and that's what I want to talk about today, the rest of God. So let me pray first before we get started. Father, we just lift up your name. It is Jesus. We ask you, open the eyes of our hearts to see him. May we see you, Lord, and may we rise above all of the emotion, all of the feelings, all the things that make us human in terms of the things that happen. Lord, we need to see you. We need to hear from you. We need heaven to fill this place as your spirit, and help us to be solidified, to be one with you, to know you, to walk with you in your ways, and to have the rest that, Lord Jesus, you came to suffer and to give. So, Lord God, I just pray that across over our people, that your spirit would speak and that we would have rest from your words. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So in Psalm 95, down at the bottom, starts out with just worship. And then starting at verses 8 to 11, the Lord gives a warning. He's trying to tell you, don't be like these folks. Now, he's talking specifically about the Israelites who were delivered out of Egypt, who didn't make it into the Promised Land. They died in the wilderness, and that's something you can do as a Christian. It can happen. It just means you never did find your rest. You never found your true self. You never did enter into the work that God called you to do. And knowing him and knowing yourself through his eyes. Thank goodness. I personally believe we go to heaven. In fact, I think the Old Testament model is out of Egypt is salvation. Wilderness is sanctification. Promised land is the rest. You've worked through this difficult work of stop listening to your feelings. Stop seeing and making determinations with your eyes and your ears about this world. That's so hard, isn't it? Oh my goodness. But it's doable. We can learn to do it. We can learn to become spirit-led instead of soul-led. Soul is, in the Greek, psukikos. That's the word, psukikos, soul-controlled. It's carnal. It's fleshly. It's sensual. You know, we have our five senses that help us understand the environment. And it's all attached in there. And so we have to grow in the Lord spiritually to rise above that, and that spiritual sense of being controlled or spirit-led is what rest is. You found your true self. That's what sanctification is to do. So he's saying in this verse here, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the days of trial in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, it was God's desire that they go into the promised land. That was the plan, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't go from slavery to conquering giants and taking some of the most prime real estate, if not the most prime real estate on planet Earth. They couldn't get there, and that's understandable. They did raise the generation that could, so they're God's people, and they're walking with him as best they could, okay? But the goal is to get there. The goal ultimately is to be with the Lord, wherever he's at. That's where we want to be. That's the difficulty, is going where God wants. God ever ask y'all to go somewhere and you just couldn't do it? You felt like he's asking me to do this, and you're like, hey, we do it all the time. It's the same thing. He's asking you to go in the promised land, and you're like, there's some big things there. I'm afraid. It's a very human thing to do. God still loves us, still died for us, still saves us. But we're living in limitation, and we suffer for it, guys. You all know the suffering, the wandering, the pounding of the sun. We're just not in the flow of abundant life. Y'all ever wondered about that? Like, God promises abundant life. Where's that? Where's that abundant life God's promising? And he would say, well, you don't go anywhere I tell you to go. You don't do anything I tell you to do. The abundant life is with me and what I'm doing. And if you would come to me and do life with me, you'll get some abundance. Man, I'm speaking to myself here. That's what God tells me. I'm just telling you what he told me. Like, God, where's the abundant life? Well, I told you to do X, Y, and Z. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. Never mind. That's where it is, I know. Help me, God. Let's just keep it real here. So rest is what we're talking about. He says, they shall not enter my rest. That word in the Hebrew is nuach, and it means settled security. Okay? He wants you, that's the issue. Where is your security? And see, what we do is we get our security in something created, some earthly thing, and we get locked in on it. And we're like, I really like this thing. It makes me feel good. I like this person. I like this thing. I like this stuff. I like this food. I like this house. I like this vacation. We like all kinds of things. And we get ourselves secured in it. Next thing you know, removed. Where's the security? It just went with that thing. It's not promised. So it's not real security. It's insecurity. And so what God's trying to do is give us security, give us things that aren't going to move ever, for eternity, immovable. And get us oriented upon that, and then it doesn't matter. Listen, guys, everything's going to change. All of it. You can count on it. And God uses that to say, hey, there's a shakable thing. Get it on to something unshakable. Me. Jesus says, I'm unshakable. That's what he wants for us. So I just wanted to track through this. Genesis 2, 1 and 3 is the first place we find this word. And it is God saying that he rested from his work in Genesis 2, 1 and 3. Okay? And I just want to give a practical outlook at this. This is something fresh for me, okay? So, God taught me some things this morning, and I'm going to try my best to relay them to you. It's been terribly helpful for me, and I hope it is for you as well. So, in Genesis 2, 1 and 3, God is speaking here, says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Okay, so God rested. So the law of first mention in the Bible is one of those things where when a concept comes up for the first time, it'll give you a fundamental understanding of the concept that will go all the way out through Scripture. So we want to take a look at this word rested, that God rested, and get some understanding from it. So it says that God finished what he had planned to do. He finished it, and he got done, and because he was finished with what he did, he rested. Okay, now he rested not because he was tired or worn out and couldn't do any more that day. He rested because he was done. Okay, so that's the concept of having something you plan to do and finishing it, and then after you're done, resting. And it goes on to say there in the scripture that God sits down. You know, part of what God did was make man. He made man, was the last thing that he made was man. So man's first day was God's rest. So man, Adam, sit next to me and take a look at it. Look at all this. I'm done. Look at it. It's perfect. It's awesome. And so our first day on the planet was a day of rest. We're in God's finished work with him. See, he is our security because we're with him. We're not separated yet. Okay? So Adam and Eve had rest with God. They had settled security in his presence. They were doing what God called them to do, and they were being who God called them to be. And those two things are a huge part of having rest. Just being with God. Ephesians 2:10, I bring this up every time I speak. I guess I will the rest of my life as long as I speak because it's so important. Ephesians 2:10 talks about that we are created as the workmanship of God. Okay? He created you uniquely for a purpose. Okay, it's the poema is the Greek word. It's just a poem. It's your destiny. Everything about you that's unique to you is in there, in that thing. And he says, I created it before I created anything else. Before the foundation of the world, I had this, you, done. And I know what I want in you, what I'm going to do alongside, what you're going to do alongside me. That's what I talked about a couple weeks ago, being chosen and God calling us into relationship. Adam and Eve had a poema too. They had a workmanship. They were called to do something. And they were doing it until they stopped doing it. And they didn't finish, in a sense. We know what happened in the garden. They were deceived because there is an enemy, guys. There is an enemy. He is active. He is deceiving. You have to understand that. Deception is the scariest word there is because when you're being deceived, you don't know it. That's why we need a lot of people around us to help us see. Listen, guys, that's why you have to have relationship. You have to have open relationship. You have to open up your life, especially if you're called to something really important. And you got to say, hey, you got to have these relationships of counsel so you can say, hey, what do you see? Here's what I'm looking at. Here's what I'm dealing with. Could you help me see? Because we're of the same Father. They have a spirit too. And that's how we get oriented to what's happening. If we didn't have one another, you're finished. You are finished. There is no way. There are no Rambos in the kingdom of heaven. We are going in together. That's just the way it is. And so it's critically important that we have these relationships. We know that Adam and Eve sinned. They got out of alignment with God. Okay? They lost their settled security and their safety. They lost it. God removed his presence. They got disoriented completely. Their souls rose up into power, which meant now they're going to be living by their own understanding, what they can see and what they can hear and what they think they ought to do. They're going to be manipulated by pain and all the things that we're manipulated by and fear and these powerful emotions. Now they're in a mess. But that's the whole world after they do that. We've lost security. And we all lack it now. We're born into it, insecure, screaming our lungs out, scared to death. That's how we come on into the planet. Insecure. No rest. It's just disconnected hearts. But see, after that, God begins his restorative plan. See, he has a plan. He has a design. He is that. He's doing it. It's God's work. When God is working out of security because he is secure. He has no insecurity. He's trying to get us into what he has. So he goes to work and he calls Abraham into relationship. See, he called Abraham. He called that workmanship out of Abraham. See, he called him into a plan. He knows what's in Abraham. He's going to call him into it. Build, come to me. Let me do my thing. I'm trying to draw the people back into, I'm trying to draw my people back into security. So he starts with Abraham. He goes, you know, from Abraham to Isaac. Isaac's called into that workmanship. Jacob is called into that workmanship. See, they have something they're called to do with God. We're called into relationship, and then in the relationship, he's going to unpack the workmanship, which is something to do. You have something to do with God. See, God the Father is all of us. God the Father is at work, and he's calling us into the work alongside him, each and every one of us. You have something within you that he knows is there, and he wants you to join him in that work. That is the plan. And we've got to be doing that. There is no rest outside of that. That's what I'm learning. There's no rest anywhere. We can have a lot of money here in this world. We can go that gives us the opportunity to do what we want. But you don't get rest in that. There's no rest in that. I can't say I know that for sure, but I've read about a lot of people that have had plenty of money, and they tell me that. Okay? And I believe them, you know? It's because I just understand it. It never does satisfy. Even the little things that I get that I think I want, and when I get them, it's just so short-lived. It's like it's just gone. I'm still got this thing here. Got to get that thing touched. So I go from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Joseph ends up in Egypt. This is the story of God. This is his plan working out. We know what happens in Egypt. They turn into slaves for many years, and then God raises up Moses. Moses has a workmanship. He's calling him into that relationship and that work so that Moses can have that rest. I'm telling you guys, you get the rest when you're with the Father doing the work. That's the only rest we're going to have here. So it's different than when we say rest, we think laying there on a bed, you know, somebody fanning you, you know, eating some great, I don't know, something like that. Probably wouldn't want somebody fanning you, but the Egyptians did. Anyway, we think about just laying around, right? That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about a security that you get by being with God, doing what he's doing. It's the only place that you can get it. We got to know who we are. So that brings me up to Psalm 95, because it's Moses who leads them into the wilderness, and that's what Psalm 95 is talking about. That in the wilderness they hardened their hearts. They wandered in here before they wandered out there. They didn't open up their heart to the Father who could tell them who they are, who they could trust so they could go with him into what their assignment and what they were called to do. They couldn't do it. And therefore, they had no rest. So that's our warning. The wilderness wandering, that identity issue. They thought they were slaves. God said, no, you're not slaves, you're my people. Now, what God the Father begins to do with these people, if you'll read those, like Numbers, the book of Numbers, I mean, it's difficult what these people had to go through in the wilderness and what God called them to. But it's in that period of Israel's history that God Almighty imprinted himself on a human people and set them apart. I could go through the metrics of what sets apart a Jewish person, but there are very real, tangible things about the Jewish nation and the Jewish people that are different than every other people group. And it practically plays out in things like Jews having 51% of the world's wealth. Because those are one of the many different metrics that you could use in understanding, okay, what makes them so special? You'd have to ask that question. What makes them so special? How come they got all the money? Well, because the God Almighty taught them how to deal with money, taught them how to do business, taught them how to think, taught them how to raise their kids, taught them how to educate, taught them how to do everything. And he did that to them in a very difficult situation in the wilderness. With fear and trembling, he inculcated himself into a people. It's just awesome. I love that. I love the way that he fathered them. See, he fathered a people. How many of y'all know if you've got a good and perfect father, good and perfect fathers don't let their kids do whatever they want to do they? No, they are in their face. It doesn't matter what you want to do, because we're going to do this right here, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to help you understand it. I'm going to model it. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm going to model it. Now, God's a perfect father, so he doesn't have to work at it. He just gets to be himself. But he's going to be himself on purpose, initiating himself as a father on a people, on a children. He's going to shape them. He's going to form them, and he did that very well. I don't think anybody can argue these things about the Jewish people. Something supernatural happened to them. And according to the scripture, it happened to them in this wilderness wandering period where they got inculcated into the ways of God as Moses brought the law of God and the words of God being transmitted to them. But it was a difficult time for them, very difficult. So they couldn't make the transition from slavery in one generation, and my goodness, that's understandable, guys. We're so complicated. And you all know, when you've got that identity stamped upon you from a child, how hard is it to get that out? It's miraculous, that's what it is, to get it out, to get it redone, to get out all the pain, to get out all the lies, to get out the identity of limitation that you and I all received in some form or fashion. To get that out of you is a miracle, but that's what God's calling us into. You are not this. I'll tell you who you are. Let me identify you. That's what he's trying to do. Get us into the work. And so Psalm 95 tells us that. Now, guys, this is a gnarly time to be alive. It really is. But God called you to this time. It's going to be difficult. I mean, I love to look back into the Old Testament because I get to see some people who really had it difficult. You know, the difficulties we talk about, they're almost like first world difficulties. My internet won't work. Something silly like that, right? I'm just saying, we're kind of weak, right? We've been comforted into just massive weakness. We are a people who have been so coddled. We have no clue about what hard really is. And so we get rattled extraordinarily fast. I'll just speaking about myself. I'm assuming you guys are similar in some ways. And so we have to keep in mind, we're not going through the wilderness the way that they did, okay? But God is going to make it difficult for us too, and it is going to be difficult because he awakens us to reality then. Listen, guys, I've been on the other side of the world. This is a dream world that we live in. It's a dream world. I mean, even in Europe, I was not satisfied in Europe. I was like, who built this hotel? These rooms are not big enough. Where's my big coffee like we get back home? Just everything, nothing was right. Because I've lived in America where it's just all dream world. God's going to awaken us to reality through these difficulties. But we got to wake up. We got to get in line. We got to listen to him. We got to stop being so getting all our security and our comfort and all these things that can be taken tomorrow. And then what are you going to do except fall apart? You're just going to fall apart and be useless. Just running around the streets like a little child, right? Listen, guys, we've got to wake up and grow up. It has to be done. We have got to see Christ Jesus, the commander of the Lord's army, and we've got to learn how to get our heart fixed upon him and say, yeah, we can do it, we can do it, we can do it together. I'm going to follow you. I'm not following anything else. I'm getting myself disciplined upon you and your words. That's my security. That's all I got. Because it's all we've got, guys. If you're alive today and you are called by God's name, I'm telling you, you are a spiritual Navy SEAL, whether you know it or not. You better get into training. He's trying to prepare a people. And it's going to be rough, I'm telling you. I mean, but the good news is you get to get in shape. You get to feel good about yourself. You get to let some of that perfect love that God has shared with you, you get to feel it yourself because of what you're doing, because of how you're living. Listen, I've tried to be slack and lazy and a feelings guy and a real carnal Christian and meditate my way into knowing God's love. It doesn't work. He's like, Paul, you're living so bad that my love can't really get into your heart the way that you need it to. You gotta walk with me, man. If you'll walk with me, we do things a certain way. I do it this way. Your way doesn't work. I do it this way. Come join me in the work. Come be the way I am. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's difficult, but it's something that we've got to do. So let me say it this way. Exodus 15:3 says, "The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name." Now, this is another aspect of who God is that we haven't really seen yet because we've had it so easy these last many years. But God is a warrior, the commander of the Lord's army. The Jesus that we are about to see next is terrifying. Do y'all know that? We are getting closer to the end in which we see God as a serious being of order. He is not joking. It's not a joke. This world we live in is not a joke. It's not a game. It really hurts. There's real evil. There's serious pain. The shaking is real. Sometimes tragically real. That's just the way that it is. I don't like that part, but that's the truth. I am the commander of the Lord's army. I mean, just read about the Jesus we're going to meet in Revelation 19. It is not, it's scary. Joshua met him before they went into the promised land. Let me read that for you. Joshua 5:13. Now, this is when they are about to head into the promised land. They're going towards Jericho. And Joshua is out there walking in the plains before Jericho. I guess he's trying to collect his thoughts, like, what are we about to do here? God, will you show me what to do? I don't know what to do. Maybe it was something like that. I don't know. But it says here in Joshua 5:13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No." Now, Joshua asked him a question, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No." He didn't answer his question. Can you believe that? You know why? Because Joshua asked the wrong question. That's the wrong question. It's isn't about sides. This is about who I am. He says, "But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come now." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" See, that's the commander of the Lord's army is Jesus. If you do your Bible study, you'll realize this is a Christophany. Jesus has showed up as the commander of the Lord's army in this particular moment to tell Joshua what he's about to do and how to join him in what he's about to do. And it's the same for us. This guy, the commander of the Lord's army, is moving now. Now, you could discipline. You can read Hebrews 12. God the Father as a disciplinarian, a strong father, and a father on purpose. He's not a lax father. He's not just watching his kids misbehave and say, "Oh, well, it'll be all right." No, when he shows up on the scene, he's going to go get them. And that's what Hebrews 12 tries to say. He says, look, if you're one of mine, expect this, discipline. I'm going to discipline you. Things aren't going to work out for you if you're not doing things the way that I would like them to be done. Because if you're a part of my family, this is the way we do it. And he's going to discipline us. And that's part of this life that we're in. Or you could look at him as God the Son, as warrior, commander of the Lord's army. The same thing. I wasn't in the military either, but I've done a lot of reading and have loved war history and all that stuff. And I'm pretty sure in the military, they tell you what to do. And they don't ask, how do you feel about this? It's just you do what you're asked to do, period. Why? Because the stakes are high. This is serious, and things have to be done now. It's called discipline. And guys, I'm just telling you, we are out of discipline. But we have got to become disciplined again. Because the promised land equals war, and we are not ready, guys. We're not ready for what is pushing itself upon us right now. We're not ready. But we got to wake up. It's awakening. Awakening. Awaken to who God says you are. Awaken. Let's go with this first. Hebrews 12 says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Okay? I went over that earlier a little bit. Everything that's created, it's what it says, will be shaken. Said another way, John 16:33, Jesus said this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." Now what I want you to pick up on is, in me you have peace. In the world you don't. In me you have peace. In the world, you don't. Now, the whole point of not getting it in the world is so that you can recognize you're not getting it, so you could go get it. I'm not getting peace here doing all these worldly things. It's not working out. It's not filling this hole in my heart. I got to get into Christ, and there's the peace. But once you get into Christ, now you're talking about having to do something. See, because now you've connected back up with the one who gave you a workmanship, and in the workmanship, you are called to do something with him. And that's what we've got to do. Now, here's the problem, guys. What he's called to do is going to scare you to death. You're not going to want to do it. You're going to want to have your cake and eat it too, and it doesn't work that way. That's what I've wanted to do, just have my cake and eat it too. I want your peace, God. I don't want to do what you want me to do, but I want your peace anyway. Let me memorize a bunch of verses and pray hours on end so you'll give me something, you know, carve out a little world in which it's just me and you that live in it. Doesn't work that way. God says, "I've called you to me. Trust me, not you. I mean, I'm going with you. I'm with you. I'll fill you." Man, is that not difficult? The unshakable kingdom. We got to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the rock, the unshakable one, the king and his kingdom. Let me give you 4 points here, and I'm out of time. 4 points here to orient you to rest. Number one, you are uniquely you. You're special. God created you special. Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says that. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows the work that he selected for you to do before you even do it. Okay? Number two, you are uniquely for a purpose. Nobody can take your place in the world. That's in Ephesians 2:10 again. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he planned beforehand. You were designed to be a part of his bigger story. God imparts to you and equips you with spiritual gifts for his purposes and plans. See, you have plans and purposes that fit with my plans and purposes, and we do those together as we have our eyes focused upon Jesus, who's the Lord and Savior of our lives. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's so awesome. And I have a vision of seeing that happen here. That we're being funneled into it. If you guys will say yes to it. He's taking us there. And sometimes it's a work. Number three, you are uniquely crafted and placed in this time in history and in this certain place. Acts 17:26 says, God determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. You're here on purpose. You've been placed here for a reason. That's because what you have and what I have fit together. It's a pattern that God wants to bring to life, the body. It's a beautiful thing if we could see it and just trust it and get into it and help one another. Guys, that's the thing about if we've got somebody on this campus that is called to do a work, then we are to steward that work with them. That's what this is all about. If they have a call on their life, how can I help you get that accomplished? Because as your brother, that is my call, is to help you accomplish that thing. Even down here to the daycare where somebody's taking care of babies. If that's a purpose from the Lord, I want to help you accomplish that. Be that. Everybody on this campus, every part of it, and every one of you, that's what we're here to do. Help each other in our unique thing because God put us here in this place together right now for such a time as this. And the time is drawing near. The days are dark. We don't have time to fiddle around with a lot of other things. There's something to do now. One may be a hand, another may be a foot, someone else is the eye, but when all are functioning, the body can walk about and do what it's supposed to do. That's 2 Corinthians 12, 12 through 25. That's worth reading and understanding and figuring out. Gosh, the time is drawing near, guys. The time is now to get serious. Expect shaking and more shaking. The purpose of the shaking is what? So we find what's not shaking. The purpose in the trouble and the trial is what? To get in Him. That's what it's for. Don't be shocked by that. We shouldn't be shocked by the shaking. We should go, oh yeah, there's another thing I was attached to too much. I got to get my eyes on Christ. The unshakable one. I've got to walk. I've got to awaken. Listen, guys, nobody retires. Nobody retires. There is no retiring from the kingdom of heaven. You get from one assignment to the next, you have a new season, but within that season, you have something to do that is the work, and you're not going to have rest without it. And you may become really bitter if you don't get into the work. We need the Lord to fill us with security, His presence, His power, by doing things with Him. And I'm just about done here. Fulfillment is what we're looking for, God, guys. Underachievers do not experience fulfillment. The only way to experience fulfillment is to embrace the right problems. Now somebody say, wait, hold on now, it's all in Christ. Yes, it is. But once you get in Christ, there are things to be done alongside Him. And we've not talked very well about this. We've got to do some things if we're in Christ. Yes, it's He did the work, yes, but now we step into Him. Now we're finding out what we're on the earth to do, and we're doing it with Him. We're facing fear. In faith, we're overcoming obstacles that we would not overcome otherwise. Those are the things we're called to do. Those right problems are assignments, and we have assignments. We must be in our assignment. What's your assignment? Do you know what your assignment is right now? Are you clear on your assignment? That's what you need to know. What is it? God, what are you calling me into? What am I called to do right now? What's the assignment? Because I'm doing this unto you, Lord, not everybody else. I'm doing these things for you. I am with you. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's the only reason I'm doing it. Now, are other people blessed? Yes, but we don't do it for other people. Why? Because other people will come and they will go. Because they're shakable. They were created. You and I are as well. But when our assignment's done, praise God, we just enter into His presence. God presents us with these assignments that are difficult to cause growth because the goal is Christ-likeness. That's what He's after. Everyone is made to solve problems. So here's a four-step and I'm done, or three-step. Number one, discover who you are and what problems you are called to solve. Number two, hone your problem-solving skills in that area. And number three, enjoy life while solving the problems that God designed you to solve. We all do get to do that together. Guys, I'm telling you, we are on our way if we will deny self, take up our cross. That's the plan that's set out for you, and follow Him, and do it with the right heart. God, thank you for it. Not begrudgingly. I've spent most of my life trying to tell God, that's okay, but I need this over here. He said, I want you to do it. No, I don't want to do that. I want to do this over here. Well, okay, suffer. We just surrender, guys. We just surrender. So as the worship team comes, I'd like to ask everyone here, as we enter a time of just connecting with God and asking Him to do a work, I'd like to ask you for, if you would, or if you can, and you don't have to, just a significant amount of us would be good. If we could just come to the altar, we need to lift up this church. We have a campus that is so important, guys. This place is so valuable to the community. There's a lot that is going on here. There's a lot of people that are affected by what happens here and what's said from this pulpit and what's done from those offices. And we have got to hear the word of the Lord. We've got to have the direction of God. We've got to have Him leading us in this. It's the only way. And Joey and I are serious about this, that we are going to listen to God and follow Him however we are called to follow. And we need every single one of you doing the very same thing, because this is so, so important. So Joe, if you guys would just spend some time in prayer for our church, for healing, for Shane and his family and their next assignment. Just every way you felt lead to pray, just please pray.
The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord, it was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was, his demand, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. But he came to me. He came to me. To where he was, he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary, when I could not come to where. He came to me when I was bound in all the chains of my sin. And he came to me when I possessed no hope within. And he picked me up and drew me gently to his side, where today in his sweet love I will abide. He came to me. He to me when I could not come to where he was, he came to me. For that's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me.
Amen. Thank you, Joey. Beautiful, beautiful. Want you guys to know I didn't really give a proper altar call, any decisions that would need to be made or anything. I'll stay with you here as long as you want to talk about anything, prayer in any kind of way. It's a strange or a different day, not a strange day, a different day. Please pray for our church. I'm telling you, there's good days ahead, guys. God has prepared us. He hasn't left us. We're on time. It's time to enter in, though. Time to enter in together. We can do it. So open your heart to him. Let him reorient you, tell you who you truly are. If you need prayer, and you will, get some. By relationships, be loved, be encouraged, be helped, open up, and let God do a miracle in you, because he'll take us into the promised land. And I promise you that. Love you guys. Bless you. Anything else, Joey? Okay. You guys are dismissed. We got church tonight. We will have word out about Wednesday night soon. But just go and have a wonderful day in the Lord. God bless you.